Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com. Today we'd like to send a special thank you to the following restaurants for supporting No Goat Left Behind, Corsino, and Bento. Show your support at these restaurants by ordering one of the menu items featuring goat. Goat is the most eaten protein in the entire world, yet in the US we import most of our goat. Our dairy farms are forced to kill some male goats at birth because there's no market for them. Help make a change. Support No Goat Left Behind.
Listening to the Heritage Radio Network. Tonight's show is sponsored by Heritage Foods USA. Welcome to Let's Get Real on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Erica Wides, your host. And last week, if you listened to last week's show, I was talking a lot about milk, particularly the perils of drinking non-organic milk. And I told you a story last week about when I was a little kid and we would spill our milk in the kitchen accidentally. And the milk would spill down behind the chairs onto the floor and seep into this crack in the wall down into the basement. And there it would wreak havoc down in the basement, both literally and metaphorically. It wreaked havoc literally because it would spill on my mom's sewing station, on her sewing supplies. And all that non-organic hormone-juiced dairy that we were drinking back then, not only, you know, soaked into all the fabric and spoiled and went rancid and, you know, stunk the place up, but all that milk that was spilling into us was causing all kinds of health problems, or potentially future health problems, for all us milk-fed American kids, non-organic milk-fed American kids, I should say. You know, breast cancer, ovarian cancer, testicular, prostate, all that stuff. All that down there, so to speak, cancer. And I was thinking about that, you know, all that milk we were drinking. But, you know, we weren't just drinking it, of course. We were eating that milk on what else but bowls of cereal. It was breakfast. And we ate other breakfast stuff, too. You know, we would eat, like, eggs and English muffins. English muffin pizza, which I always loved. Frozen waffles, which I can't even believe we ate frozen waffles. You know, but all that usual kind of crappy breakfast stuff. And like, my parents were sort of strangely health conscious and way ahead of the curve in some ways, but there was still always a box of frozen waffles in the freezer. But anyways, so on many mornings, the milk, you know, the milk that didn't get spilled and dripped down into the basement actually found its way onto bowls of cereal, you know, because what do and did most American kids of the past 100 years eat for breakfast? Well, usually a bowl of cereal. You know, it's easy, it's cheap, it's quick. Full of sugar. They like it. A big bowl of highly processed wheat or corn or rice or oats, the you know, industrially produced, oversupplied grains of the American century, especially rice. A lot of cereals are made out of rice. With a big dose of sugar, of course, to make it palatable. And then to make up for the fact that it's so processed, some synthetic vitamins and minerals sprayed back on at the factory, you know, because the grain was so refined that it had to then be enriched. That's what enriching is about, spraying back on synthetic versions of all the stuff that was stripped out. And, you know, we ate cereal too. Now, like I said, my parents were kind of ahead of the curve health-wise, so they were trying to not sugar us up too much. They were trying to keep the sugar down to a minimum. So we only got to eat kind of the nasty varieties of cereal, the not sweet ones, the whole grainy ones, the ones that your typical 7-year-old utterly despises and detests. And one of the cereals that we ate it seems to me like every day of my childhood, but I don't know about that, was something called Product 19. Now, I think you have to be of a certain age to remember it. I've asked a few people today if they knew what it was, and they had never heard of it. People my age, people younger than me, and even my sister doesn't remember eating it, which is weird because she was right there next to me spilling milk, eating cereal. Although she had allergies. Maybe she was exempt. I don't know. But anyway, Product 19. I haven't seen it on the shelf in years. I haven't thought about it until I started really thinking about cereal. And so I looked it up online, of course. And it only has like four ingredients in it. Whole wheat, corn, rice, oats, and sugar. One, two, three, four. Okay, that's five. Plus BHT, which is stuff they put in there that's a preservative. So it wasn't that bad. It was, you know, it was whole grains, whole wheat, whole corn. I don't know if it was brown rice. Everything was rolled into flakes, like most cereals, and then sweetened, but not sweetened enough for me. And then there were the synthetic vitamins and minerals sprayed back in, of course. I hated it. I mean, I ate it. I guess I had no choice. You know, if I had eaten the box, I probably would have gotten a little more enjoyment out of the box. And of course, to make matters worse, not only did we eat that, but we had to put wheat germ on it. Kretschmer's wheat germ came in a jar. Wheat germ, if you don't know what that nastiness is the germ of the wheat. Now, the germ is the little spot in a wheat grain that gets knocked off when the wheat is processed along with the bran. And it's actually the most nutritious part of the wheat. It's where it germinates from, hence the name germ. So you can buy it in a bottle. And it was, I guess, big in the 70s. We had to dump wheat germ on our nasty cereal. So it was seriously like adding insult to culinary injury. 19 plus wheat germ. And, you know, I was thinking a lot about this when I was kind of putting together this show. And Product 19, even though it wasn't too bad for a cereal, it was almost like an early form of like proto-foodiness. It wasn't like just a bowl of whole wheat in its pure form, and it wasn't a bowl of Captain Crunch. It was right in between, and that's what foodiness is. It's that in-between. It's neither real food nor junk food. It's the in-between food, and we bought into it. It was kind of tame foodiness for the time. It was the 70s. And so I was thinking a lot about this and about Product 19 and looking it up. And it turns out that Product 19 has been discontinued. Sei gesund. It's over. Rest in peace. No more Product 19. Funny thing is, it was launched in 1967, which was also the year that I was launched, and then discontinued in 2010, which was not the year anything specific happened to me, but it seems somewhat significant. So Product 19 and I were born the same year. It's gone now. You can't buy it anymore. And I'm not sad about that. I wasn't going to buy it. I'm not looking for it. I hated it. I used to beg for sweet cereals. Can we please get Captain Crunch? Can we please get Apple Jacks or Sugar Smacks or Alphabits? I just wanted any of those. All my friends always had them. They all seemed perfectly healthy to me. And ironically, they were all thin and I was a little fat kid. So what was going on there? Well, probably what was going on is that every time I went to their houses, I would completely gorge myself on their cereal because it was like, you know, going into a crack den for a deprived addict. And the ultimate in crappy cereals to me was the Captain. The Captain. There's no T, you know, it's C-A-P apostrophe N, the Captain. Captain Crunch. Even though when I ate Captain Crunch, it would shred the roof of my mouth, which apparently it does to most people, I still loved it. It was like cereal crack to a Product 19 fed chubby child. And then adding like the evil crunch berries on top was like putting little heroin nuggets into a bowl full of crack and feeding it to a health food fed chubby child. Captain Crunch was pure junk. You know, synthetic vitamins be damned. There was nothing about Captain Crunch that said, eat me, I'm good for you, the way something like Product 19 would say, eat me, I'm good for you. I think most parents probably knew it was pure junk even back then, but they bought it anyway. Maybe because it was just easier to give in and give your kids that stuff. Maybe you didn't want to cook for them, you didn't have time, making oatmeal was too hard, you don't know how to cook eggs. I don't know, it's the same story today. But, you know, back then it was fill up a bowl with the captain, turn on the TV, watch Schoolhouse Rock or H.R. Puffin stuff, repeat. And even the parents of my friends who were so, you know, so either those parents of my friends were so oblivious and so ignorant of food that they just said, well, it's Cap'n Crunch, it's food, it's made out of corn, so it's okay. Or maybe they just didn't care what their kids ate, which I think, frankly, is really what it was more about. It didn't matter to me. I would go over, sleep over, breakfast time, I would be shoveling in the captain. I mean, I'm certainly convinced that nobody was buying it thinking it was any kind of health food. That's for sure. And I think that back then, there was food, real food. There was this, you know, so there was food and food would be like a chicken or, you know, a bowl of rice. And then there was like this so-called health food, which was the product 19, granola bars. And then there was junk food, Captain Crunch, Twinkies. But maybe not quite so much foodiness. I think foodiness has really reared its ugly head in a much bigger way just in maybe the past 20 years. You know, food was oatmeal, junk was Captain Crunch. The lines were much clearer. We thought product 19 was health food. Like I said, it was kind of like the 1970s version of foodiness, a little tamer, less bold in the outrageous lies and blatant claims that are now based, or now on these packages, based on industry-funded science, not real science. It was kind of like smoking weed, not smoking crack. Not so harmful that it'll kill you, but eventually it may catch up with you and do some kind of damage. And that's kind of what I want to talk about today is the outrageous lies of foodiness nutrition. The lies that bring us things like whole grain Captain Crunch or the latest one that I've just seen on the market, whole grain Pringles or omega-3 enhanced everything or water that has chemicals added to it that promise to make you feel orgasmic or smarter or more fit. It's the foodiness feedback loop. You don't eat real food, so you get no nutrition. You eat junk food, so they add foodiness nutrition to the junk food. Then it elevates the junk food up to the level of what we think is acceptable as food, and then real food just goes away, kind of like the dinosaurs. Nutrition-based foodiness creates lies that'll kill you a lot faster than weed, and maybe even a lot faster than crack. So foodiness lies and more after we take this little break.
In 1965, Vietnam seemed like just another foreign war, but it wasn't. It was different in many ways, and so were those who did the fighting. In World War II, the average age of the combat soldier was 26. In Vietnam, he was 19. In Vietnam, he was 19. In Vietnam, he was 19. In Vietnam, he was 19.
The heaviest fighting of the past 2 weeks continued today, 25 miles northwest of Saigon.
I wasn't really sure what was going on.
Welcome back to Let's Get Real on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Erica Wides, your host. Tonight's show is sponsored by Heritage Foods USA. So, I was talking about Captain Crunch and Product 19 in the first segment, but the show today isn't really about cereal. That's coming. I'm going to do a cereal show down the road, despite the title, which is there's no such thing as whole grain Captain Crunch. But it seems like when I think about foodiness nutrition, I kind of keep coming back to it. Cereal. It's like, to me, it's like the foodiness touchstone. And, you know, there is no such thing as whole grain Captain Crunch. That is true. I looked it up. I actually made that one up, whole grain Captain Crunch, along with omega-3 enhanced Oreos. I kind of did it just to prove like a point, like a ridiculous point. And that is, you know, that there may not be whole grain Captain Crunch, but you know what? There's whole grain Lucky Charms. And there's whole grain Cinnamon Toast Crunch. And there are whole grain Pop-Tarts, and now there are whole grain Pringles. So that's my point, that whole grain Captain Crunch may seem ridiculous, but there's this whole other nasty, multi-headed hydra of foodiness out there. And how do these food manufacturers make claims that allow them to bring us whole grain Lucky Charms? How do they do that? How do they get the whole grain in the box with all the marshmallows? Well, basically, all these food manufacturers kind of wanted in on the foodiness whole grain wagon train. They kind of, you know, smelled it in the wind. And so they got together with the USDA, and they came up with some very creative ways and very low standards for labeling in order to call a food a whole grain food. So a label on a product that says made with whole grains doesn't necessarily mean it's 100% whole grain. It would have to say 100% whole grain for it to be 100% whole grain. If it says made with whole grain, it has to contain 51% whole grain by weight. 51% whole grain by weight. Now, the rest of that weight can be sugars or fats. It can be corn syrup. It can be chemicals, colorings, flavorings, cement, dog poop, crack, old tires, people, but it can still be called a whole grain food. The whole grain used in all of those creptastic products, too, isn't the hard red winter wheat that we think of when we usually think of whole grain foods, the stuff we associate with like whole wheat bread. The brown, kind of slightly gritty wheat that we associate with like the grainy hippie food of my child. You know, product 19 wheat is what I'm talking about. No, the wheat that these guys are using to make Lucky Charms whole grain is an albino strain of wheat called white whole wheat. It's pigmentless wheat. There's no pigment in the bran. It's an albino strain of wheat. So it's white. It looks white. And it tastes sweeter and milder than red wheat because it doesn't have those pigments in the bran. The pigments in bran in regular red wheat have like a tannic bitterness to them, which is what gives whole grain foods flavor and complexity. And those pigments, incidentally, are full of micronutrients. And they're valuable micronutrients that are important to us. But the USDA only lists certain nutrients on its label. And so they say that white whole wheat and red whole wheat have the same nutritional value. They're equal, same amounts of stuff in them. At least the same amounts of stuff that they're interested in mentioning on their labels. So, yet again, we are being scammed. And that's how you wind up with things like whole grain Pop-Tarts. And that is foodiness nutrition. It looks like nutrition. It's being presented as nutrition. But it sure isn't nutrition. It's a manufactured doppelganger of nutrition. It's nutrition's evil twin. A Pop-Tart is not food. A Pop-Tart is a piece of shit. And why would you want to eat shit? Well, because it's junk food. And junk food tastes really good sometimes to us. So that's okay then. You know, if you want to eat junk food. That's totally fine. I don't have a problem with that. Call it what it is. But, you know, we know somewhere deep down, like the message has finally gotten through to us that maybe we shouldn't be eating shit. So if we add nutritional value to that Pop-Tart, it becomes much more appealing shit. It gets a health halo. We think, huh, maybe Pop-Tarts aren't just crappy cookies after all. Maybe they're actually good for me. And so we buy them. And whether we buy them at Walmart under the Pop-Tarts brand name or we buy them from Trader Joe's and they're organic, which they do sell, and a friend of mine had them in his home this weekend. I will not name names, but he lives in Baltimore. All of us from all across America, every single one of us, tea partiers and tea drinkers, we all do it. We all succumb. We all get sucked in to the foodiness rabbit hole. I do it, and I live in ground zero food smug Brooklyn. I buy skinny cow, low-fat ice cream sandwiches. I'm admitting it. I'm not proud, but I do it. And for my crowd in Brooklyn, like, those are as, like, un-Brooklyn foodie elite as you can get without being lynched from an heirloom apple tree upside down by your yoga-toned ankles. And foodiness nutrition goes way beyond the realm of breakfast cereals and pastries, by the way. It's everywhere, and it's totally insidious. It's replacing food as we know it. You cannot escape it. It is Soylent Green. I know I keep mentioning Soylent Green on the show. I mentioned it earlier on. I'm mentioning it again. But, you know, I did give you a homework assignment, listeners. I did tell you on episode one to go and watch it. So did you watch it? Because I'm going to give you a quiz on Soylent Green in episode 10. So it's on Netflix. You need to watch it. Now, Soylent Green came out in 1973, but there was another movie that came out in 1971 called The Omega Man, which is based on a novel that came out in the 50s called I Am Legend. And then Will Smith made another version of it in the 2000s called I Am Legend, and there have been other versions of it. But The Omega Man is a movie about a man who thinks he's the last man left on Earth after everyone else dies from a plague. And it's a plague that happens because of biological warfare between China and Russia. And so he doesn't succumb to the plague. He's a scientist, and he develops this serum, this cure, or a vaccine, I guess. And just as he's starting to die from it, he injects himself and he lives. And he thinks he's the last man on Earth. But it turns out there's a tribe of mutants who were immune, and they are intent on destroying him because he represents the old culture of science and technology and rational thought and real. And they are this kind of religious freak, fringy crowd. But what I was thinking of in Omega Man is that maybe the plague that killed him was foodiness. Maybe Omega Man's plague was caused by putting omega-3s in all the wrong places. And maybe that's what's happening to us now. Maybe he ate one too many omega-3 Oreos. Or maybe the O in omega really stands for obesity. Maybe that was the plague that he was dying from. And I only say this because I think the story of Omega Man is quite prescient and foretells a lot of what may be going on right now. Because right now, we're putting omega-3s in everything. And that's what reminded me so much of Omega Man, is that there's omega-3s in every processed food, almost to the point where it seems like a plague. Like we're playing around with nature, kind of like Jurassic Park. And if we're not careful, it could all really blow up on us. Now, there aren't actually omega-3 Oreos out there yet, but there are a million different products that have omega-3s added to them on the market. And the omega-3s are being added to products where they just don't belong. Omega-3s generally come from either fish or from seeds and nuts. They don't come from cookies. Fish don't go swimming through the Oreo orchard. That's not how it works. So omega-3s come from certain foods. They come from oily fish, of course, which you probably know. I've talked about this before back when I was doing my old show, Why We Cook. I talked about it a lot. And the fish get it from eating algae, tiny little plants. Those tiny little plants are green. They eat the omega-3s. They get it. I mean, the fish eat them. They get it from that. I talked about this all before. Omega-3s, omega-6s. I know. I'm going on about it. It also comes from other sources, though. It comes from flaxseed. It comes from mustard seed. It comes from canola oil, which comes from the unfortunately named rapeseed. Talk about bad marketing. It comes from cranberry seeds. I did not know that. That's a new one for me. It comes from shiso leaves, purslane leaves, pecans, walnuts, other nuts, and chia seeds from whence chia pets spring, along with a lot of other sources too. So all of those things that are chock full of omega-3s are all food. And they're all foods that are perfectly edible in their basic state, unprocessed, ready for you right there in the market. So why is there omega-3 added to yogurt, which is not a seed or a nut or a fish, or in snack bars or in cereal or in drinks, or in bread, or crackers, or mayonnaise, or pizza, or orange juice, pasta, milk, eggs, popcorn, and infant formula? Those are only a few of the list of omega-3 enriched foods that I found in my research. Why do we need to add it to those foods? There were nearly 2,000 new omega-3 enriched products introduced in Europe and North America in the past 10 years. 2,000 foods. And omega-3 enriched foods and beverages have they've entered this explosive growth phase in the global market too, because in 2004, the FDA began allowing nutrition claims about omega-3s to be posted on packaging. And that's where it all went nuts. There was some research done that said it may help your heart and your cholesterol and prevent stroke and all of this stuff. And they allowed that to be put on packaging, and now there's over 2,000 new products with omega-3 added to it. And there are a million studies to back up that claim. There's a lot of research that backs it up. And there are a bunch of studies also that contradict all of it. And nobody really knows the truth because of it always comes back to who's funding the research. If the research is being done by scientists who have ties to the food industry, they're going to come up with one result, obviously. It all kind of depends on who's paying for the research. So I personally prefer my food unenhanced, unenriched, unmessed with. When I read the ingredients list on a label, I don't really want to read a novel. I want to read like a very short sentence or even a phrase. I just want to read food on there. So it seems a little crazy to me, this like taking elements of one food and industrially injecting it into other food. Why does my orange juice need omega-3? It doesn't need it. So why is it there? And where can I get them in other forms? So the name of this show is Let's Get Real. So let's get real about this. Why would anyone care about foodiness nutrition or where we would get these real foods from? Well, because to me, like this idea of foodiness nutrition, it's almost like it's like joining a cult. You're being brainwashed into believing you're getting your nutrition. You believe that drinking regular orange juice isn't enough. You have to drink that orange juice that has the omega-3s added to it, or the yogurt with added fiber, or the pasta sauce with added calcium. Things that don't normally go together, you know, like the fish gene in the tomato to keep the tomato from freezing. It's like taking from column A and column B and putting them together and not coming up with something that makes sense. So the food industry is like miseducating us about things like whole grains and omega-3s and calcium and, you know, where they come from. They don't come from a factory. They don't come from those products. They come from food. And I'm not saying like, don't eat junk food. I'm just saying eat food, eat junk food, but know the difference. Know that most of the products that claim to be healthy are not. They're just junk food too. And I think that it's almost like we're experiencing this like generational paradigm shift where kids are starting to believe that the only way to get certain types of nutrition is through these products, not through the actual foods themselves. It's like they've been fully indoctrinated into the foodiness cult. They don't realize now that there's a difference between a fruit snack and fruit. Or maybe they've never even eaten a real fruit. The health halo of foodiness is so successful that a Star Wars-shaped fruit gummy is now a perfectly acceptable form of fruit. You look at the label, it says strawberry concentrate, pear juice concentrate. Well, that's okay. It's fruit, so no one questions it. What if you read the label of that product and the label said, not actually good for you and possibly harmful? Maybe if it were like the labels on cigarettes, this could cause death. This may cause death. This has been proven to cause illness, cancer, high blood pressure, obesity, diabetes. You think people would still feed it to their kids? I'm not sure. I don't know. So we want to get real about real nutrition too. You don't have to be a nutritionist, God forbid, and spend all your time figuring out where you're going to get your vitamin E and where your whole grains and where your omega-3s are coming from and what supplement you need. You just need to listen to great grandma. Your great grandmother never heard of this stuff. She just ate food. So let's knock those big foodiness nutrition claims down to the dirt and squash them like a bug. I'm going to tell you where to find those elusive nutrients, and it isn't in Pop-Tarts. If you want to eat your omega-3s, get a can of sardines, get some herring, get some wild salmon or mackerel, eat those. If you don't like fish, or you can't eat fish, you're a vegetarian, get some ground flaxseed meal. Sprinkle that over your whole grain Lucky Charms because the flaxseed will cancel out the marshmallows. That's how it works. Or eat some walnuts or get some chia seeds. Or when you go out for sushi and there's a shiso leaf there, eat it instead of leaving it behind as a garnish. Just don't eat the weird science lab-created freaky foods. And there's an even easier way to get your actual nutrition and not even have to think about any of this. You don't have to think about, like, am I getting this from this and this from this? You just eat food. You just eat real food. Nothing value added, nothing enhanced, nothing enriched. Great grandma food. Either real food or junk food. But nothing from the limbo section of food hell. Food from the limbo mart, the in-between place. Would you want a glass of refined fish oil served to you at breakfast next to your orange juice? I would not. I would not enjoy that. That fish oil, by the way, has like off the charts level of mercury and other toxins and things that accumulate in the fatty tissues of fish and get concentrated in our quest to get that foodiness nutrition packed into that single convenient serving size pouch. So would you eat that? If the label on your omega-3 enhanced orange juice said this also contains heavy metals, toxins, mercury from the accumulated fish oil, would you do that? I don't know. So I know it's seriously overwhelming and it's a lot to think about, but it's really not that hard. It's really just about eating food or eating junk food. But watch out for limbo land. Watch out for what's in between. Don't buy into the brainwashing of the foodiness cult. I think they've really kind of successfully convinced us that what they're doing now is better than real food. And there is nothing better than real food. People have been eating real food for a million years. It's only in the past 50 years that we stopped eating the real food. So anyway, ignore the enhancements. Ignore the nutritionalism, the supplemental, the nutraceutical. Eat a sardine, eat an apple, eat some potato chips. Look for labels that read like phrases, not paragraphs. And remember, Soylent Green was people. And maybe the O in Omega is for obesity. Are we doing it to ourselves? I don't know. Either way, if you don't want to eat shit, continue listening to this show. Let's Get Real on Heritage Radio Network. Now, next week, we're going to take a look at crunchy things that come in bags. And we're going to look at the whole new generation of puffy corn snacks that come in funny colors like green. We're just about out of time. So we'll see you next week on Let's Get Real. Thanks for listening.